Good afternoon and welcome to Family First with five-time author and top speaker Randy Rolfe. Your family may be facing a variety of issues that you'd like addressed. No two families in the world face identical problems, but Randy has seen almost all of the difficulties families today face, and she and her expert guests have the answers that you seek. Now, here is your host, Randy Rolfe.
Welcome to Family First. And today our topic is the importance of fathers and how important they can be. We hear so much about single moms, deadbeat dads, and so we wonder what's going on. We have a primary model for a father and a mother and a child. Are dads not interested in their children? Are they too busy working? Is it unmacho to change a diaper? Are new dads immature and running from their responsibilities? Are the mothers of their children chasing them away by being too protective of the children? My guest this week is Greg Bishop, a leader in working with dads who want to be a bigger part of their children's lives. Greg noticed years ago that many new fathers lacked the confidence they needed to care for infants. And so on Father's Day in 1990, he recruited some friends with new babies and launched Boot Camp for New Dads, with a full class of rookie dads-to-be joining them. Today, Greg serves as their head coach, and boot camps have grown to over 260 programs around the country and the world, offering programs in community centers, hospitals, churches, and even the U.S. military. He'll burst a number of popular myths today for us about dads and show how our culture can do a better job supporting fatherhood and how important that can be. I'll tell you a little more about Greg before I introduce him. He had 12 brothers and sisters, so he felt really experienced with babies when he had his first son. After two daughters and another son, friends with new babies started asking him for advice. And today, his boot camp for new dads is internationally acclaimed, called The Nursery in a Locker Room, due to its special rule, no women over 2 feet tall allowed. It's been featured on Good Morning America, CNN, The Today Show, NBC, CBS, ABC, and more, and in Time Magazine, Newsweek, Parents, Ladies Home Journal, Men's Health, and many others. And Greg has found that fathers-to-be want to do their best. They just need a bit more information and confidence, and he is helping to provide that through the boot camps. Greg's an author of two wonderful books, Hit the Ground Crawling, Lessons from 150,000 New Fathers, and Crash Course for New Dads, Tools, Checklists, and Cheat Sheets. He's also the founder of dadsadventure.com, where new fathers can get online support, and also a published magazine for dads, the only one. And Greg holds an MBA from Stanford University and is CEO of Trauma Care of America, which develops and supports trauma centers. So welcome, Greg. I'm very excited to have you as a guest on Family First.
And I'm very pleased to be here.
So let's start with how you got involved. How did you first become interested in sharing with other fathers?
And probably, you know, one thing I don't mention much is that when my second child was coming home, I had a business that failed. And I ended up going from, you know, going home myself, and where I developed a new business. But there I was for the next 7 years as my second, third, and fourth, you know, grew up. And so that was something that was huge that really, you know, gave me a unique opportunity to understand, you know, what my kids meant to me and such. But certainly having 12 brothers and sisters, all my brothers, you know, we all took care of babies. It was no big deal. It just occurred to me to put a little workshop together, and I did that at the hospital. I'm a hospital consultant, so I did it at a hospital I was familiar with, and it just kind of took off from there. I think if we knew anything about education, it wouldn't have succeeded, because all we really did was get some guys together with babies and sit down with some dads to be, and that conversation alone was something that just is really magic for men, because otherwise they just don't have another guy's, you know, perspective as they get into being a dad themselves.
Oh, that's so powerful. I know I was lucky enough to have my dad. He was a doctor. He had his office attached to our home. So he was around a lot more than most of the dads of my friends. And you being home with the kids gave you that extra perspective of how much a dad can mean to the children, just having that time invested.
Right.
And my own husband tried hard to spend a lot of time at home and worked from home and during many stages of our children's lives. So we really, really value that having both parents involved as much as possible. And today we have many, many split families, and the parents get into legal battles about custody and that kind of thing. And I love what you're doing as far as showing how important it is that the kids have the father involved. So can you tell us more about your boot camp for new dads?
Yeah, the men come typically in the last trimester before their first child arrives, and then they typically come, about a third of them come back as veteran dads with their babies, you know, about 3 or 4 months along. And it's really very simple. We have a facilitator, a coach, and, you know, we just go around the room and ask the guys what their concerns are. The issues are, you know, we just bring up issues in terms of, you know, first of all, babies and then mothers and then other things dealing with, you know, fatherhood and such. And the veterans essentially do most of the talking. They explain their experiences with babies and with new moms, and it's just that simple. And then, of course, there's babies there, and a lot of these guys, the dads-to-be, have never held a baby before, less so than it used to be, but they get a chance to hold a baby for the first time. That's pretty fun. The babies do need to be changed. I'll have 30 guys tomorrow morning at a boot camp, and I'll have 5 veterans, 5 babies, maybe 6, and those babies need to be changed. And what will happen is the rookies will end up changing the babies. At first they're a little reluctant, but they'll step forward, and then they get to go home and brag to their wives or mates that they actually changed a diaper for the first time. But it's just a very hands-on, just guys, you know, just like guys are in a locker room just talking and sharing stuff. Sometimes it gets pretty heavy. There's a lot of heavy issues related to, you know, our own dads and such. And but when they walk out of there after watching, when the rookies walk out of there after watching those veterans take care of those babies alone for 3 hours, a key thing is they're thinking, I can do that too. And so that's kind of a snapshot of what goes on in there. But it's just a unique setting where just it's guys doing things that guys have done together for, you know, in the military, the sports. That's just how we work and how we bring out the best in each other. So I think there's a lot of magic that goes on. I probably don't understand it myself, some of it.
Well, it makes so much sense as far as right now our nuclear families are so isolated, and a dad isn't around other dads that are, you know, playing with their 3-year-olds out in the courtyard. I'm thinking of a picture of a tribal society, and so this is creating that environment again where they can just say, hey, how's it going for you, and show me how to do this,
Right.
Sharing with each other. That's so powerful. So you have a concept you call the caveman dad. Can you tell us a little more about that?
Sure. And just, you know, on that that last point, you know, what happens when the dot turns blue or the sign is positive for that first pregnancy, you know, mothers network like crazy. There's very much of a community for mothers. With their own mother, all their sisters, any mother they know, they just naturally, innately connect. And men don't do that. And one of the things I like to point out these days is that every mother to be pretty much connects with their own mother pretty quickly after, you know, that dot turns blue or the plus sign. When I ask my guys who are fairly well motivated, how many of them have had a serious conversation with their own father about becoming a father, the answer is about 1 out of 30, about 5%. So just a huge stark difference there. But the caveman issue, I think that, you know, the reason we're bringing up cavemen is because that's where we can kind of all agree where a lot of this started. And when I say this, I'm referring to hormones and chemicals and all kinds of traditions and things that that affect parents today. At that point, the research is pretty clear that the caveman was very much of a hands-on dad. And if you ask the question, what did dad do versus mom do for the kids, well, there's no question that both mom and dad were, you know, busting their cans to take care of those kids, to keep them safe, and, you know, they are living in a friggin' cave. And I think that really, it's important to understand that, because that's where we're starting from. A lot of the hormones that mothers experience today are very similar to, you know, what they had 100,000 years ago, same thing with dads. And I think that just gives us a better understanding that, you know, for millenniums, fatherhood, motherhood, we're very much, you know, there was a very strong sense of equality. You know, dad may have been stronger and had issues with that, but in terms of their impact and, you know, on the kids, it was very much of an equality, you know, situation. And I think that people don't realize that this changed dramatically only in the late 1800s when, you know, people have this impression that dads have lagged or fathers have lagged forever. Well, in the late 1800s with the Industrial Revolution, that's when fathers left the farms and the homes for the factories. And up until that point, they had a very strong role in raising their children. And at that point, things started dissipating. And so I think that's the key thing, is that we've had for millenniums a very strong tradition of very involved fatherhood. We lost that over the last, you know, 130 years or so. We're making a strong comeback at this point, you know, as fathers. And we've come a long way. We do have a ways to go, but we're headed up and we're going up. So I think that's the key issue with the caveman, is that that's where we started, and that's what we still have going for us. And so that's an important issue for us.
Yeah, I think that it's really valuable to set that context for families, for the mothers and the dads, to see that there's a million years behind the Industrial Revolution where families and communities were very close and were interacting all day, every day. And only since men started leaving the home to work in factories in the late 1800s, things really started to transform. And it's taken us 100 years to realize the costs. I mean, there were benefits to that, but there have been some major costs to our the role of dads and their kids and what our expectations have been. We've really minimized our expectations of and our kids have suffered.
Yes. Oh, totally, totally. Yeah.
So you've had experiences with thousands and tens and maybe even hundred thousands of dads, as the title of your book indicates. What are some of the things that you can identify for dads of what they uniquely contribute to the children?
We're past 300,000 at this point. We quit counting because we can't really totally keep count, but in any event, it just keeps growing and keeps going. But I think that, you know, as far as what dads contribute, we've just sort of entertained the notion over the last, you know, 20 years or so that dads, you know, contribute anything. And I'm being a little facetious there because I'm a little sensitive to the trashing that, you know, that fathers have taken over the years. But I think that, you know, when you look at the, you know, the evidence, it's pretty clear, for example, that just our roughhousing with our kids or with our, you know, little toddlers and babies and such, and that's something fairly unique that dads do. You know, it's not very common that a mom would roughhouse with her baby. And so just that alone, it has a big role in shaping a child's brain, in terms of, you know, in terms of managing the, you know, the child managing their emotions, thinking, you know, taking physical action together. I mean, they get used to doing that. They don't get, you know, stirred up and freaked out, you know, down the road. Their sense of achievement when they defeat dad, because dad will let them win, on occasion. Their life lessons, you don't always win, because sometimes dad won't let him win. And then just self-confidence, concentration, physical, motor skills, the motor development is very important in terms of a dad's interaction here. Ability to take risks, just resilience and hanging in there. I mean, there's a lot going on just in that one little activity that dads do, and there's lots of different things that dads do. And so that's just kind of an indication. But if you know, look at the various, you know, research that's been done, you know, socially, our kids do a lot better. Certainly economically, you know, a lack of a father around is the number one factor for, you know, poverty. Perceptually, kids are different or more advanced simply because dads are different. And it's just simple, you know, dads have beards and our faces are different, and our babies are fascinated with all of that. And we react differently to things, and our kids pick that up. And so if you get something different from both mom and dad. Well, it's not you're getting what you need from one or the other. It's getting you're getting, you know, more than you need perhaps, or you're getting all you can get because they're both contributing, both mom and dad are contributing all the things they can.
That's great, Greg. We're up on a break, and I want to get back and talk some more about what dads contribute to not only the children but the moms. So stay tuned.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/voiceamerica or search for us at keyword Voice America.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters. Whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance, Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RandyRolfe.com. Your family will thank you.
Hi, I'm Neil Haley, host of the Total Education Network. We're the only education talk show that airs shows 7 days a week on different stations. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org to learn about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the total education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide news and provide tips for parents. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org for more information. Remember, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators, TotalTutor.org.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
Before we get back to talking with Greg Bishop all about fatherhood and what fathers contribute to the family, I want to make two quick announcements. We've published a new book. It's a humor book called Princess Buttercup, The Cat's Cross-Country Road Trip. And it's the story from a cat's point of view of traveling from Pennsylvania to California, which we do 3 or 4 times a year. And also my book, The 7 Secrets of Successful Parents, is still a good book. It's back in second edition, so you can find both of them on Amazon, and I'm very excited to be sharing those with you. So we're back with Greg Bishop, who's the founder and leader of the Boot Camp for New Dads, and what an awesome, awesome enterprise. It's been around for now over 20 years and growing very fast around the world because dads do want to be involved, and they need support, and they're getting it from the boot camps from other dads, which is a great concept. So, Greg, you were telling all the contributions that fathers give to children,
right?
That their mothers are different, and that's why we have two parents. And
right.
So how have you found that dads can help the moms be good moms too?
Well, I think, and that's a hugely interesting issue, because ever since moms took over, you know, parenthood essentially, you know, Mommyland has developed. It's what we refer to all the magazines and the healthcare sectors and the TV shows and everything, you know, focused on moms. And there's just this notion where when you look at dads, it's always been done through sort of the mommy lens. And the issue of supporting moms, that was not my original idea when I started boot camp 21 years ago. One of our principles, though, is that everything we know, we learn from the guys that have come through. And those men that came through ever since day one, when we asked the veterans what's the most important thing you learned, taking care of mom no matter what, you know, became number one. And so we have focused on that quite a bit. And I think that you know, just a couple of things, you know, that a dad can do in terms of supporting moms is, first of all, understand them. Because, you know, essentially what happens is moms, you know, have a lot of hormones raging and that sort of thing. Dads will initially think that they just don't like, you know, them anymore, that they're angry with them, they're going off on them. They take it personally, and they shouldn't. And if they understood moms, they would realize that. So it's important they understand what's going on with mom. And then they can blow off a lot of the stuff that, you know, that they run into. I think, you know, another issue is that, you know, and I'm not sure how to quite put this, but basically it takes a man to be a dad. And that means that, you know, when you're tired in the middle of the night, and if you're in the military someplace and you're on watch and you're tired, well, you got to man up and do the job, same thing with at home. And so there is that issue, and it does take a while for some guys to get, you know, get that notion that they need to put out. But I think that, you know, the critical things, because we always ask this question from our veterans coming back in terms of supporting mom, and they say, you know, beyond understanding her, you know, certainly encourage her. She is not, she's not going to be a perfect mom. She's expected to be, and she's going to make mistakes. And when she makes a mistake or the baby's crying, she doesn't know what's going on. You know, dad's, you know, trying to figure out what's going on. Mom's thinking I'm a lousy mom. And so dads need to encourage, you know, mothers quite a bit. You know, every step of the way, because, you know, that's the mom that's going to take care of their baby, of course. But, I think that, beyond that, you know, it's a matter of putting out those first, you know, couple of months are just, you know, everybody's got to, you know, pitch in as much as possible. There's sleep deprivation and such. And then when they come out of it, dads need to understand moms too. And this is an important issue, that on average marriages decline in quality and enjoyment after that baby comes. And it's pretty dramatic effect. And a lot of that has to do with the relationship issues that are just different now, that dads don't, if dads react constructively, you know, they can work those issues out and have a happy couple forming a new family, versus, you know, having conflict, you know, experiencing conflict and such. But I think that it's simple little things like the guys that come back when I, you know, we tell them that with breastfeeding, you know, you don't want mom in there trying to do it alone and getting frustrated and such. So dad's rubbing her shoulders as she's trying to, get the breastfeeding going with their baby. You know, that makes a big difference, and it gives dad something to do. And those are the kind of things, the little things that can count hugely in this whole, you know, area with new families when you got a new baby there.
Oh, that's great. I'm a big advocate of maintaining the strength and love in the primary relationship, as I call it, between the father and the mother.
Sure.
Because that sets the stage for everything and keeps the anxiety down and the stress. And oh, those examples are great that you've been giving of little things just every day to support the mom and to recognize that, okay, she's not perfect and neither are you, but that's okay. The kid will survive and thrive knowing that, because the kid's not going to be perfect either. But you can help each other take care of that little baby and fall more in love by doing it together.
Well, and some couples do thrive on that baby. And really, any kind of, you know, huge challenge that two people take on, you know, there's every reason that they will bond as a team and just on that alone and such. So it can go either way. And definitely you want it to go north, not south. One of the important issues, though, is that, you know, just the hormones, the way they work and the way they work for millenniums, is that essentially when that baby arrives, mom looks at dad in a different way. She's wondering what kind of father he will be to my child. She's sort of forgotten why she loved him in the first place. And it's just a whole new ball game in terms of that relationship for dad. I mean, in some respects, he just basically got dumped. And he doesn't understand what's going on. So there's a huge challenge there. For dads to understand what's going on, of course, but it's also there's some real room for potential for mothers to understand what's happening there too.
Right, they both need to know that. I mean, people always say, "Oh, well, children change your lives," but the most important thing is to change together and communicate what you're going through and understand. So that's wonderful to be able to just heighten the both parents' awareness, particularly the dad, that this is, it's not the end of the world, and there are ways to make it easier and prosper with it. What trends have you seen over these last 20 years, talking to so many dads? You say that there have been some interesting shifts lately.
Well, there certainly has been, and the thing that I've noticed, because I do travel, remember that, you know, when I started this a long time ago, you'd see dads and babies in airports, dads and moms and babies and such, and those babies are typically in a stroller or mom was carrying them, and these days, you know, dads are almost carrying them all. There's clearly a big shift that's going on. When I ask the men about their own fathers, it's a new generation today than it was 21 years ago. And it used to be that we'd get like a third that were just, where it's the little league coach, and they aspire to be as good as their own dad. There was another group that, you know, the dads are sort of emotionally distant. Another group, the dads just weren't there. And that again has changed dramatically. And so I shouldn't say dramatic. Well, no, it's changed dramatically. There's no question about it. One of the things I should point out quickly is that just the notion of absent fathers, and we use that term to mean, you know, men who are not living with their children. It's something that it's sort of a myth. You know, there's, you know, 27% of men do not live with their fathers do not live with their children. And there's this myth that they're all deadbeat dads and that sort of thing. And the reality is that 75% of those men, are seeing their babies, their children, you know, several times a week. It means they have them for the weekend and that sort of thing, or several times a month. Or if they live in another state, several times a year. And there's a small portion of that 27% that don't see them hardly at all, you know, don't have much contact. And just that alone, it's just, you know, that alone is just one of the issues that I like to point out. But in any event, back to your questions.
Well, that's really a critical observation that we shouldn't think of that the dads are just out of the picture just because they aren't living in the same house as the children. They want to be involved, and most of them are.
Right.
And that is really important because it's important for dads to know that they can still be a major part of their child's life, even if the marriage hasn't worked out,
right,
or the relationship, and that other dads are making that same effort. And,
right.
That's got to be.
One of the trends we didn't see, and this relates, one of the trends we didn't see was when I started this 20 years ago, I thought that we would reduce the gap between what moms and dads did with respect to the kids. And I thought the more dads did, you know, the less moms would do, and everybody would be happy. And that hasn't happened. You know, dads are doing quite a bit more. All the research makes that very clear. Mothers are doing even more. Instead of cutting back, mothers who are driven by very powerful hormones and chemicals from their cave woman days to take care of their babies and keep them alive and all this, well, these days they are just, you know, they take the same behavior and are just involved in all kinds of things that are not necessary, but they think they are because that's the way they're built. And I always want to make sure that people understand we totally appreciate the way moms are built. You know, the moms are taking care of our babies in a very compulsive, obsessive way, which is wonderful to an extent, but it does get beyond that. And so I think that, again, one of the trends I didn't see was moms backing off. And it's, you know, to me, it's large part because of just the overwhelming influences on mothers. They do have 85% of the purchasing power, which basically means every marketer in the nation is pushing their emotional hot buttons, and they're pretty hot because they're hormone-driven, to just do more and more, feel guilty if they don't, you know, for their babies. And so that's, again, a trend that's been very important that didn't occur, and it's high time it did, frankly.
Yeah, I think I agree. What I've seen, Greg, is as far as so many more mothers are in the marketplace that there's almost a pressure from some guilt that they need to do more and more and more at home because they're not there during the day or during their work hours. And so it's sort of like a bottomless pit of pressure to have them doing more and more. And I think what you're doing, focusing on the quality and being there and responding to the child is something that, and I know you are moving that direction of offering more support for moms too, to
yes.
to realize
yeah.
they don't have to be perfect. They don't have to stay up all night working. They just become more tired and less responsive when they do that. So we're coming up on another break, but I want to get back to talking more about that issue of the chore wars and the most pressing issues you see among the dads today.
Which guests are being featured this week. Read our network press releases and read the blog posts from your favorite hosts. Go to iradioblog.com today, powered by the Voice America Talk Radio Network.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters. Whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance, Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RandyRolfe.com. Your family will thank you.
The Total Education Network is the only network that airs shows 7 days a week on various stations. Please go to our website, www.TotalTutor.org for more information about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the total education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide educational news and tips for parents. The Total Education Network, the talk shop for parents, teachers, and administrators. That's www.TotalTutor.org.
Learn more. Live better. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
Welcome to Family First. We're speaking with Greg Bishop, who is the founder and leader of the Boot Camp for New Dads, which now has 260 different programs around the country and the world, and is growing and now adding for new moms as well, because this program has been so successful in getting dads more confident and more skilled and more understanding of what's going on with their infants. And I love what you were saying about the dads holding babies. I've heard, as I've been in family practice for 25 years, I've heard over the years dads say, well, it's so much fun when they get to be toddlers, you know, when you can throw them a ball or something. And you're getting that bonding much, much earlier and really getting the dads involved early. And that's so powerful, because a lot of the perspectives of children are set long before they're toddling. So well, I really love what you're saying.
Yes, and certainly, you know, the issue with mothers is as well. But I would point out, though, in terms of, you know, dads being involved and having a balance in that relationship with the kids and all, but I should point out that our research, we're very big on football with babies, on, you know, football on TV. Our research shows that babies, 98.2% love to watch football on TV with dad. It's very good for their brain development, with contrasting colors, moving in rational patterns. And, of course, because a brand-new baby's eyesight is developing, a big screen TV is required. So, anyhow, we like to, you know, point that out. But
yeah, that's fun for the dads to know, isn't it?
Well, we're just kind of, it's our way of saying we're here to play. And
and
play, you know, the earlier the better. And as dads really understand, for example, the thing about men, you know, becoming fathers is they generally just don't know what to do. They just need to know what to do. And so when you explain to them how a baby's brain development works and the different things they can do to enhance that, and things that you know, other dads have done and that sort of thing. They're just all over it, and it's just as simple things like taking your little baby and walking around your backyard and just showing them different colors on different plants and things of that nature. Babies are fascinated with anything, you know, new, and dad's, you know, one of dad's huge role is to show his baby the world, and that can start right in their backyard. And once they know that, they just take off. And it's just that not knowing what to do is what holds them up back often.
Oh, that's a great picture. In the break, you were describing the freeway.
Oh, yes.
Metaphor image for the way that fathers and mothers are responding to the family situation. Can you explain that, Greg?
Right. Well, I apologize for forgetting her name, but it was a female, you know, neuroscientist that heads up UCSF neuroscience, you know, program up in San Francisco, and she wrote The Female Brain and the Male Brain, and her comment was that a woman's emotional paths are like a high-speed freeway, whereas a man's are more like a country road. And so I've expanded upon that a little bit. So for a new mom, because she's, there's so many different things, new things going on, we've created the freeway interchange. And for dad, it's still that country road. Some of them are paved and such. But it's a huge issue because the understanding, you know, required for mothers and dads to make the adjustments to a new family are huge. And these emotional paths, what's going on, the hormone issues, all those issues really do play a role. And again, you know, the more understanding they have, you know, the better. And so that's just one of our ways of you know, making that point.
That's great. And then when the mother is caught on the
loop,
the loops, oh. The idea of hearing her out and not fixing. I mean, many mothers, you know, they complain that the father's just, he always has a simple solution. Well, that's easy, you know, and she needs to be heard out.
Well, she does need to be heard out, but I think that, you know, from our standpoint, you know, we've never, as men, kind of responded to that point. We'll just listen, Well, the fact is, you know, fixing some of those problems wouldn't be a bad idea either, especially if they're contributing to, you know, that conflict in that new family. And, you know, and so anyhow, I think there's another, particularly when moms and dads are becoming parents together, I think that, you know, that addressing these issues, thinking about them, talking about them a little bit is very important. But there's two sides of that one, and I think both are important.
Yes, quite so. So what are the kinds of issues that that you see are most pressing now to dads at your boot camps?
I think that, you know, I'll mention two. You know, the big one these days is finances, you know, men, you know, regardless of circumstances whatever people think it ought to be, we're all pretty much built that we're providers, And so when the job is, market is shaky, when our job is shaky and that sort of thing, we have a new family coming along, it can be, you know, unnerving. And, you know, mothers tend to focus on the baby and are not, focused on the financing. So it's something that tends to set on dad's shoulders, often to the point that, you know, mothers are just oblivious to it. And so it can be very lonely for a father in those, you know, situations, you know, worrying about the money and just how to make all this stuff work. And so that's a huge one. I think another issue that it's time we settled a little bit is has to do sort of with the fighting over who does what, and this gets to the chore wars issue, and a couple of, you know, there's a couple of points here. One was a huge one made by Time Magazine, and for a couple of decades now we've been listening to research that, you know, that basically says, well, dads are doing a little bit better in terms of the amount of time they spend on the drudgery of childcare and housework. And I put the drudgery in there because that's kind of how it's been presented to dads, particularly by moms. And it's not a good way to get dads to do something. But dads are doing a little bit better. Dads are doing a little bit better. Then Time Magazine finally comes along and says, wait a minute now. These guys are, you know, working hard at work too, supporting their families. That ought to count. And so they just did a quick little analysis. And it basically shows over the last couple of decades, you know, dads are doing, you know, more and more at home. Moms are doing more and more at home. You know, dads are starting to do less, you know, less at work. I shouldn't say moms are doing more and more, but it just, you know, their you know, workload has, you know, has continued, of course. But when you add it all up, basically, you know, they're basically doing about the same amount. Now, full-time working moms are doing somewhat more than full-time working dads, but they're all doing quite a bit more than stay-at-home moms. And it just, you know, the recognition that working your tail off to support your family ought to count, it's high time it came along. And I think that is in sort of an indication that, as I mentioned before, this is sort of a tipping point year. And just puts a different take on that whole issue of chore wars. You know, our approach is that, you know, the notion of dads doing 50% of the drudgery, well, first of all, you know, they shouldn't do any more than 40%, because at least 20% is not worth doing, you know, given the other priorities the family has, and should be replaced by fun. I think that, you know, those are things that need to be said, because moms, you know, with mommy land and such, have sort of whipped this up, and the whole who does what issue has been interesting too, because there's been some additional research out of Boston College that basically replicated research on supermoms, but that did it on super dads, and found that men are actually professional men, with children, fathers, are just as stressed, or if not more, than super mothers were about trying to do it all and not have enough time to do it well and that sort of thing. And so I think that, you know, just a different approach to these chore wars is important. It's also, of course, important that dads step up and do their share. But that's another sort of major issue these days. I think that there's all kinds of things that men are coming up with these days compared to what they did 20 years ago. And in terms of their living relationships, you know, certainly their working relationships, being able to work at home part-time, that sort of thing. And so they're getting much better prepared as they get into it. But the stressors are the finances, and then, you know, working things out with mom.
That's so important. The ancient stereotype, well, they aren't ancient, but the conventional stereotypes of the dad who's just not helping is past. And it's important for moms to let that happen and not stay stuck in the stereotypes, because there's room. The dad wants to contribute, and he is contributing more and more. And that's a really important point. So can you tell us how do fathers find out about your program? And when they come in, are they hesitant or resistant? And can you give some examples?
Sure. You know, about half of our guys are signed up by mom, and it's been that way ever since. It's less than it used to be. It used to be more like 70%, and, you know, moms are taking business. And so when they come, if they've been signed up by mom, they're just being told what to, you know, they're sort of told what to do, which is generally fine with you know, most guys. They're, you know, mom's getting them ready for the baby and all, and and they come in, and they're just there for another class, and they don't know what it is, and they're just kind of sitting there. And then we start, you know, we close the door and start going at it, and very quickly they just get comfortable. And when they you know, have that baby and that sort of thing, but they just start warming up, and by the end of that class, it's clear that these are different men. And when they get home, their wives and girlfriends say they're different. And, you know, people around them say the same thing, because they just had a sort of a transformative experience. And so a lot of men, when they hear Boot Camp for New Dads, Daddy Boot Camp, they think, well, I don't need to go to a class to learn how to change a diaper. What they don't quite appreciate is that they're getting a lot more than how to change a diaper. They're getting a whole dose from other guys on how to deal with the new life they're getting into and such. But how they hear about it, it's, you know, there's programs at various hospitals and community groups. They do, you know, a little bit of marketing. Mostly it's the moms learn about it and tell dad. And then once the program gets going, there's a word of mouth. So, for example, our regular program, you know, has around 10 rookie dads to be in it. You know, I've been doing this a little bit for the last 3 or 4 years right here at this location. I've had 30 for the last 3 months. I need to split the class in half. But anyhow, they just hear about it word of mouth and such.
That's so exciting, because so a guy could just be, you know, saying to his friend, hey, you know, my wife hasn't paid any attention to me since the baby was born, and he can say, well, you know, there's a boot camp for that.
Actually, it's too late for him. And I don't really mean that, but because they come before their baby comes, you know, they come to boot camp before their baby arrives. You know, we want them to be prepared when their baby arrives. And by that point, when mom's no longer paying attention to him, well, he's already missed a lot of opportunities. So actually, I mean,
sure.
One of those guys could still come, but you know, it's important to get that they get here to get to, we get to them, they get to us before that baby arrives.
So it's just like educating the pregnant mom. You want her to not be faced with a baby staring at her before she has some understanding of what it's all about,
right,
and
right.
Doing the same thing for the soon-to-be dads. That's great. Third trimester, you said, was the best time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So now you have two magazines. They Hit the Ground Crawling. I love that. Lessons from 150.
Well, in two books. That was the first book. It's interesting in that England has developed the boot camp program. That's that we've partnered with them to develop it throughout England and with their National Fatherhood Group, and they call their program Hit the Ground Crawling, because boot camp doesn't translate over there. But in any event, the first book with everything we'd learned from that first 150,000 that came through. Once I was finished with it, it dawned on me that men typically don't read 300-page books, and so then we set about doing the crash course, which is sort of a summarized version with everything they need to know, and that's worked out very well. It's one page per chapter, and that's all they really feel they need. And then of course we have a website where they can dig into get a lot more depth, whatever they want.
Oh, that's great. We're up on another break. So please, everybody, stay listening to Greg Bishop. A few more great insights coming.
Looking for exciting video content live and on demand? Visit www.voiceamerica.tv for exclusive content you just can't find anywhere else. That's voiceamerica.tv. Tune in now.
Hi, I'm Neil Haley, host of the Total Education Network. We're the only education talk show that airs shows 7 days a week on different stations. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org to learn about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the total education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide news and provide tips for parents. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org for more information. Remember, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators, TotalTutor.org.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters, whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance. Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe, has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RandyRolfe.com. Your family will thank you.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Greg Bishop, who's the founder and leader of the Boot Camp for New Dads, and he has arranged over 260 different programs all over the world where veteran dads, those are dads that have their babies, help new dads or soon-to-be new dads learn what it's all about being a dad, taking care of a baby, taking care of a mother, and building a new family together. So Greg shared so many wonderful insights about the role of dads and how they can be so important for their children. So I wanted to ask you, Greg, about some examples of how the veteran dads in your courses, what they report that their lives are like, that would be different or might have been different from their own childhoods because of what they've experienced in the course.
Right, and it's the veterans are what we are the feature of our program. Basically, without them, we wouldn't have it. And it's just tremendous for me personally to watch these men. You know, the notion that men can't do this job and such, and these guys are their veterans with 3 months as a father under their belt, and they truly are veterans at that point. And you know, they come in and with their babies, and they're just different than they were you know, came through as rookies and such. And it's quite amazing what some of these men have done. You know, one of the last group, you know, his wife was bipolar, which is a very serious issue, very serious issues with postpartum depression and this sort of thing. And he just was hugely stepping up, doing whatever is necessary, and just a great example of what men do, you know, who are fathers. And I think that when the other guys see that, they're thinking themselves, well, if he can do that, I can certainly handle the issues I'm dealing with, you know, myself and such. We've had them, you know, they'll come in with their baby, and their, you know, their child has Down syndrome, and they've you know, figured out how to handle that personally, which is a huge issue. And they're sitting there, and they're very proud of their babies. They love their babies, and the other guys are looking at that and thinking, well, that's different than I thought about. You know, and so if they end up with a Down syndrome child, you know, it's just a very different situation because they're prepared for what goes on there. But, you know, just in general, it is a, you know, it's a huge shock to become a father in terms of the sleep deprivation alone. These guys are pretty much through most of that by 3 months or so. You know, the serious, you know, stuff and such. And to a man, they're explaining how their baby, what their baby likes and doesn't, how to take care of them, just what they've learned. And they're just totally into it. One of the things that's totally clear, and this is sort of, you know, you can never explain to a man who hasn't had his child yet, what his baby's going to mean to them. And when we ask them that, they find it hard to talk about, but it's pretty obvious just in their actions and how they're, you know, just how they're taking care of them and this sort of thing, that it just, they mean the world to them. And so it's just a great experience for the rookies who haven't really, you know, haven't experienced that at all, of course. And, but these men come back and each one has something unique to say. Often men say it, you know, in funny ways. We started off, our first expansion in North Dakota a long time ago, we learned that sort of the hard way, where veteran dad, this is dairy country up in Fargo, North Dakota, and of course the media's there because it's a new program, and the veteran dad is going off on how proud he is of his wife, who can pump a quart of milk a day, and which appeared in the newspaper. And so that's just, you know, you get a lot of fun stuff from the guys.
Yes.
But we've had to warn the guys about saying that stuff in front of the media and such, but you know, they're just very different. And a mother's, you know, transformation is incredibly remarkable. You know, what she goes through, the metamorphosis of becoming a mother is just spectacular. But I think a father's is not that far behind. It takes longer. Men lag behind mothers. Mothers have a baby and, you know, they're pregnant with their hormones charged 9 months before the guys, you know, really get it going. And but they do catch up, and they're catching up rapidly at that point. And these men today that we get, they're very much very positively responding to what you might call the expectations, higher expectations these days. I refer to them as opportunities. And what we find is these guys aren't doing all this work because, you know, somebody's telling them to, or they're expected to, or whatever. It's that they want to. They've been reinvited back into the lives of their kids. They're very hands-on with them. They're getting hormonal sort of injections almost that help them, you know, nurture their child and such. They feel very protective of their child. I'm sure that's a hormone-driven issue too, and it just has a huge impact on them. And just their absolute commitment to their babies is just a huge tribute to fathers in general. And these men are just showing everybody in the room, of course, that us guys can do this job and do it very well.
That's awesome, and it really sounds like they shift their paradigm from thinking that holding a baby is a mother's role to realizing that they're in their full manhood when they're supporting the mom and the baby and helping out with the little one. That's a powerful shift, and I'm sure it's very gratifying to see.
Oh, totally.
And I always recommend that that before a baby is born, that the mother and father talk about their own experiences as children and what they expect about the baby, and you're facilitating that by creating an environment where the dads can talk to other dads that are just 6 months ahead of them, but
right.
have been through the crucible.
Exactly. Well, well put.
Oh, thank you. On the lighter note, I think it's so cute that you have a rule, no women above 2 feet. So if a dad comes in with his new baby and maybe a three-year-old girl, the other dads, they're the dads-to-be, see like you said, the dad can care for the children.
Well, and they don't come with their three-year-olds. Because they just
they're too tall. Okay.
Oh no, the 2 feet has to do with mothers.
Oh, okay.
Oh yeah, no women over 2 feet, which means baby girls are totally beyond welcome. But this is something us guys need to do ourselves, and that's been an interesting issue because I would have thought I did this 21 years ago, I would have thought we would have taken a little heat on that, and we never have. There was a mention, you know, with a reporter with no children, a female that got booted out of a boot camp in Florida someplace, where there was a little dust up in the newspaper even over it. But as far as, you know, the mothers just understand this. Everybody seems to understand it. But it's been fun and it's been important because it's just a different thing, you know, a whole different discussion with it, with a mom there, a woman there.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah, I met just a 2-year-old girl, a daughter, if they had to bring the little one to the boot camp. I'm sure there are other lots of pregnant women out there listening who would love to connect their expectant dad to your group. So how do people find out about getting your books and finding a boot camp near them?
Yeah, they can. If they go to dadsadventure.com, they'll get information on whatever they need.
And fabulous.
Yeah.
And so you have you've mentioned a couple of camps around the country. So are they in most states now at this
45
point?
45 states have them. We're depending on having somebody local that wants to do it. And so they're not everywhere, although they should be. But anyhow, no, 45 states have them, and it's the most successful program for fathers by far in terms of men coming. Voting with their feet, and it's because when they walk out of there, they're thinking this is great, and they tell their friends about it. So that word of mouth that I mentioned. So the guys will definitely appreciate going, and moms that send them there or encourage them to come are going to be a leg up, on having a partner that's going to help them do the job.
Oh, that's very cool. And what's the typical length of the boot camp program?
It's 3 hours on a Saturday morning.
Oh, that's fabulous. Wow.
The babies don't last any longer than that, actually.
Right. Well, I really want to thank you, Greg. It's been a fascinating show, and it's so important, and our society really needs to be supporting our fathers more, and you are definitely setting the pattern for that. So I thank you so much for being a guest on Family First.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
Take care now.
All right.
We hope you've enjoyed Family First. Please tune in to our program every Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, to join your host, Randy Rolfe, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. The weekend is here. Enjoy it with your family. And we hope to see you here next week.